It's Pastor John here. Hey, happy Sunday. Sorry I couldn't be there. I am somewhere deeper into the Fraser Valley in Chilliwack, having a good time, no doubt, helping out a friend who's in Israel. I'm kind of speaking for him this week and looking forward to coming back to you in 2 weeks. But for now, we had some big changes. I don't know if you saw what happened on social media this week. What? You didn't see what happened on social media? You got to get on our Facebook page, and one of the ways you can do that is to like it, and then you will get these regular updates, like the one you just missed from the week before. We rolled out a brand new logo. Yes, Cornerstone has a new logo, new colors, new feel to it. This came as a process. I put together a few people that I think had an eye for this design stuff, and so they were a huge help for me. We brought on the help of a friend who's a graphic designer, and I put this idea before some leaders of the church and the board, and we had some options, and so we came up with this one. There was a few criteria that had to happen. It had to have a C in it because we are Cornerstone Church. Talk about a corner in it because we have corner in our name, so we couldn't have a lot of circular bubble looking things. But also it needed to have something that didn't make the men in the church gag, like some other churches I've seen in the past. They've had, you know, flowers in it or Comic Sans font in their logo. So we didn't want any of that. We wanted to have it good, strong lines to represent a good, strong church that we have. So I hope you enjoy the new look. We released it this week, and you'll be seeing it all over the place now. And when you see it, you can say, wow, that's my church. And so if you don't like it yet, I think that you will warm up to it. I've been talking to a couple people, my wife included. She's always a good barometer for me on whether or not something will stick or not. She wasn't so sure about it at first, but now she's a big fan. And so when it passed the Haley test, that was encouraging for me that this is indeed a good thing. Anyway, you have a guest speaker coming up, and he is a good friend of mine. We were roommates together. He helped me out through some really tough seasons of my life, and we bonded well. He also scored on me when I was a junior goalie. He played for the Vernon Vipers. David Morelli was quite a sniper in those days, and I remember one night in Vernon just getting completely lit up, and I got pulled in the first period. And Dave remembers that night because he had one of his best games. And so we made the connection and realized that his best game and my worst game come together. But anyway, we both became pastors, and Dave has become a good friend that I am always cheering for. I love dearly, and I am happy to share him with the Cornerstone community. Dave just got his master's degree at Trinity Western. He is a pastor in Surrey, and he is going to share something from his heart with you this morning. So Dave, take over from here, and I look forward to hearing online about what you brought this morning. So enjoy, David Morelli.
Thank you. Well, that was it's loud. That was a good introduction from John. If he didn't tell you that I scored on him, I was going to. So he beat me to it. But yeah, John's a really good friend of mine, And like he said, we've shared a lot of different experiences, good and bad, and everything in between. And yeah, I just love him. And you guys are blessed to have him be a part of your church for however long that is. And so I'm just really glad to be here. I'm super thankful to be here. I just love the welcome that you gave to us. And I'm just really thankful to be able to open up God's word for you this morning. Thank you for having me and my family. And so before we jump into the message, there's a few things you need to know about me. First is I love Jesus. I really, really love Jesus. I love him. He's got my heart. He's changed my life. And I will not stop talking about him until I breathe my last breath. I love Jesus. And I just want to tell people about him. The second thing you need to know about me is I love my wife and my son. John forgot to introduce them, so I'm going to introduce them. My wife, Catherine, and my son, Levi, are just over there. Other than Jesus, they're the two most important people in my life. I love them dearly, and it's just great to do life with them. And so I love Jesus. I love my wife and my son, and just love doing life with them. And the third thing you need to know about me is I love the Bible. I love teaching the Bible. I'm one of those crazy people that thinks the Bible is awesome. Does anyone else here think the Bible is awesome? Oh, good. Hey, that's awesome. That's encouraging. I love the Bible. I think it can speak to us no matter what we're going through in our lives, no matter what we're facing, no matter what it is that you're dealing with today. I believe that God can speak to you through his scripture. And so I love teaching about God, the God of the Bible, what he can do in our lives if we come to him in faith and trust him to do for us what we could never do for ourselves. And so I just love teaching about the God of the Bible. And that's what I'm going to do today, because that's all I know how. I'm going to teach from the Bible. We're going to look into the Bible, and we're going to see the God who can do all things, that nothing is impossible for this God. We're going to see him at work. We're going to see the God who doesn't hold our sin and our mistakes against us, but shows us grace and mercy when we come to him. We're going to see the God of the Bible who is alive and who works today, that he is loving and he loves us with an eternal, never-changing, never-ending love. We're going to see this God in action today. And what we're going to see in our text, this passage that we're looking at, one of my favorite stories in Scripture, is that one encounter with this God of the Bible can change everything in your life. One encounter with this God of the Bible, the God that we're going to see in our text today, can change everything in your life. And so if you have a Bible, we're going to be in Mark chapter 1, verse 40 to 45. We're going to be looking at this story in the Gospel of Mark. And if you're new and you don't know what the Gospel of Mark is, like, where is that in my Bible? It's one of the stories of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection written by a guy named Mark. And he tells us about the things that Jesus did when he was on earth. He tells us about the miracles Jesus performed. And most importantly, he tells us that Jesus is the Son of God and that he died on a cross and rose from the dead to reconnect anyone who puts their faith in him to God the Father. And so as we set up this story, we're in the Gospel of Mark. Jesus is on a teaching tour in Galilee. He's in this region in Galilee, and he's on a preaching tour, and he's going to town and synagogue to synagogue, and he's teaching people about God and life and faith and how it all works together. And during this teaching tour, we come to our story, and we see this happen. And so I'm going to read from the text and pray. And so if you have a Bible, join me in reading. We're going to pick up God's word to us in the story. In verse 40 of Mark chapter 1. And a leper came to him, Jesus, imploring him and kneeling, said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I will be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them." But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town. But he was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter. God, I pray that your word would speak to us this morning. I ask that, Jesus, you would be lifted up in this time, that you would be honored for who you are, and that we would draw closer to you from wherever we're at today. That we would take one step closer to you, the God who can heal, who can change lives. And so, Spirit, would you take over? Would you speak now? And may you open our eyes and our ears and our hearts to receive from you, Father, what you want us to hear. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So a few years ago, I love my family, as I've said already, but a few years ago, we were out having dinner. And I don't know why we decided to do this, but over the course of the dinner, we decided that we were going to have this time where we were going to figure out what the meaning behind our names were. And so my dad pulled out his phone and he started looking up all our names. And it was really fun because we got to hear the story behind people's names and what was going on when our parents named us. And we got to hear the meaning that this name that we were given had. And we had some really great names, like some really awesome, strong, biblical, beautiful names. My Aunt Maria, her name meant rebellious woman. That's a good name, and that describes my Aunt Maria perfectly. She was just awesome. She was the most special person to me, and a rebellious woman in a good way described her. My mom, Anne, her name was Gracious, full of grace. I think that describes my mom really, really well. My brothers, I have two of them. Peter, his name meant Rock. That's a strong name. He's Rock, like this is a rock. It's strong, it's firm. My brother, Michael, his name was Who Is Like God. And then there was my name, which means beloved. David means beloved. And so we had gone around the table, and everyone was like, "Wow, these names are amazing. These names are so exciting. Like, so I love my name. I love the meaning behind my name. It was just strong. It was biblical. It was really, really fun." And then it was my dad's turn. And we looked at my dad, and my dad's name is Claudio. He's Italian. He was born in Italy. And we said, "Dad, what does your name mean?" So he looks it up on his iPhone, and his head drops. His shoulders stoop, and he says, "Oh, my name means lame and crippled." Oh, our hearts just dropped. Everyone had beautiful, strong, awesome names. And here's my dad. His name means lame and crippled. That is not the meaning behind your name you want, right? If you can bypass that, then it's a good day. And so my dad's name meant lame and crippled. And here's the thing. It's one thing to have your name mean lame and crippled, but it's a completely different thing to feel lame and crippled by the stuff in our lives, isn't it? It's a completely different thing to feel like my life is so hard. I feel like I'm lame and I'm limping around, or I'm crippled by something that's happened to me or something that's been done to me. It's totally a different thing to feel crippled by the stuff in our lives, isn't it? To feel like what is going on inside of me or around me or to me is crippling me in my life and holding me back from everything that is good and right and awesome in this life. Have you ever felt that? You ever felt lame or crippled by something that's in your life? And you feel like it's holding you back and just something is not connecting or firing right. Have you ever felt that? Can I just say, if you have, you're not alone. You're not alone. Hear that. You're not alone. See, the hard reality of life is that every single one of us has stuff in our lives. Every single one of us has stuff. It doesn't matter who you are or where you came from or where you're at in life, how young you are, how old you are. We all have stuff. We all have something that we've carried in with us today. And maybe it feels like a 100 pounds is weighing you down, is pushing you down. We all have stuff that we're carrying around with us. Maybe we have relational stuff. Maybe we lack deep, meaningful relationships in our life, and we feel lonely, and we just long to have a place where we can belong, a place where we can be connected with people, a place where we can experience love and acceptance, those beautiful human needs that every single person has. Maybe we have relational stuff, or maybe it's not relational for you. Maybe it's emotional stuff. Maybe you're here today, and you're struggling with grief or depression. You're wrestling with anxiety or fear. Maybe you have a pain or something in your past that really drags you down, or that you're trying to work through. You're trying to deal with a recent hurt, or something's going on in your life that causes you to have fear or pain or grief. Maybe you have emotional stuff today, or maybe you have physical stuff. Maybe you or someone in your life is dealing with a health issue and it's really hard, or maybe there's some kind of physical challenge in your life that puts a limit on what you can do and what you can experience. And so whatever your stuff is, you are not alone. Every one of us here has something that we're dealing with. Every single one of us has something that we're working through and we're trying to overcome. I get it, me too. I have stuff in my life. It's not always easy. It's not always easy. So we all have stuff, but here's the good news. Here's the good news that we need to hear today. The good news is there is hope. There is hope that even though you have stuff in your life that makes you feel lame and crippled, Jesus is able and he's willing to heal you from your stuff. If you're walking around limping today or you feel crippled by whatever is in your life, here's the good news that Jesus is able and he's willing to heal you from any of the stuff that you carry with you. That's the good news. How do I know? Because that's what we see in our passage with the man with leprosy. What Jesus did for him, he can do for you. And so here's what we see. We see that the man in our passage, he had stuff in his life, stuff that was really, really hard, big stuff, major stuff, stuff that really held him back in his life. And that's where this story starts, with a man with leprosy. Look with me at verse 40. It says, "And a leper came to him," Jesus, "imploring him and kneeling, said to him, 'If you will, you can make me clean.'" And so our story starts with a leper coming to Jesus. And so all we know about this man is that he has leprosy. He has the skin disease, leprosy. We're not given a backstory. We're not given a name. We're not given any other information about him. Nothing. All we're told is the disease he has. All we know about him is that he has leprosy. That's all we know. And so right away, what we know about this guy is that he is known by his stuff in his life. What he has going on in his life defines him. It gives him his value. It gives him his worth. He is a leper. It's who he is. He is the disease that he has. He's known by his stuff. Now, we don't know much about this man other than that, but here's what we do know. If you dig into like the historical background of this culture, here's what you do know about this man, is that his life was really, really, really hard. It's not an easy life, because in this culture, lepers were outcasts who lived on the margins of society. They were among the lowest of the low in society. People did not want to be around anyone with leprosy. They stayed away from them. They kept their distance. They ran from them. They didn't want anything to do with someone who had leprosy. And here's why. Leprosy was a skin disease that made you unclean. It made you unclean. In this culture, being clean was super important. It was super important. See, the goal for people in this culture was to live your life avoiding anything unclean, because if you became unclean by eating the wrong food or catching a skin disease like leprosy, you were cut off from the temple and from God's people. You were cut off. You had separation. There's a barrier between you experiencing God, going to the temple, which is the place where you met with God. You worshiped him. You experienced a relationship with God in this time. And so you were cut off from having a limited access relationship to God. You also were cut off from people. People avoided you because you were unclean, which meant you didn't have a lot of relationships. Mostly likely your only friends were other people with leprosy. And so you were cut off from God and from people. And so that was really, really hard. It was a barrier to experiencing love and connection and acceptance and belonging, deep human cravings that we all share. So life for a leper was really, really hard. It's hard physically, because once you contracted leprosy, it would gradually spread over the whole body. It would eat away the healthy flesh, kind of gross, and it would cause the skin to be crusty and scaly and covered with sores. So leprosy was horrible, incredibly painful. So physically, if you had leprosy, life was really, really hard. But having leprosy also made your life really hard emotionally, because it came with great shame. There's a bunch of shame that came if you had leprosy. And in one of the Old Testament books of the Bible called Leviticus, it's a great read. You should do it sometime. Have you ever read Leviticus? Yeah, totally, right? The people laughing understand. There's this book in the Bible called Leviticus. It's basically all the rules, all the different things that kind of govern the way people interacted with God and with each other. And there's a whole chapter dedicated to laws about people with leprosy. And there's this one little part in there in chapter 13, verse 45, that describes what this guy's life was like and the rules that he had to live by and live under. Listen to these words. The leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes and let the hair of his head hang loose. And he shall cover his upper lips like of a mustache or a beard and cry out, unclean, unclean. He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling place shall be outside the camp, though the camp is where God's people were. So how hard is that life? How difficult is this guy's life that this is what his life looks like? You had to wear torn clothes. Never cut your hair. Hang your head low. Have a mustache and a beard. It was like wearing a sign every moment of every day. Hey, I have leprosy. I'm unclean. Reject me. Get me. Push me away. I have leprosy. Look at me. It only gets worse. Everywhere he went, he had to yell to people and warn them that he was coming. Unclean. Unclean. The leper's coming. The leper's coming. Get out of my way. Stay away from me. And on top of all that, he was forced to live alone outside of the community. He was in a camp all by himself. This guy never had a chance. His life was lonely, sad, filled with shame and rejection. This is his life up to verse 40. This is his story. This is his stuff that he's coming and carrying like a 100-pound weight on his shoulders. But notice in verse 40, where does he go? He comes to Jesus. Look again at verse 40. And a leper came to him, imploring him, which means he's begging and pleading with Jesus, and kneeling said to him, if you will, you can make me clean. Now just picture this moment with me, okay? Picture this moment. See this man. He has leprosy. All he has known is a life filled with shame and loneliness, pain and rejection. He's tried everything to be free of his stuff, but nothing's worked. All he sees is a long road ahead of him that is more of the same. And it doesn't look appealing. See people gathered around Jesus. See this man approach, and he's trying to get close to Jesus. See him coming to Jesus, muttering unclean as he approaches. See people around Jesus, hear him, notice him, and get out of the way as quick as possible, putting distance between them and the leper. See him fight to get close to Jesus. He's almost there. Now see him arrive where Jesus is. Everyone's run away. It's him and it's Jesus. Now hear the words. If you will, you can make me clean. If you will, you can make me clean. Now I love what this guy does, because when he comes to Jesus, he's not just asking Jesus for help. He is, but he's doing more than that. See, he believes Jesus can heal him. He has faith in Jesus to do for him what he can't do for himself, what he's never been able to do for himself, what no one's been able to do for him. He believes that Jesus is the answer. He believes that Jesus has the power to heal him. Look what he says. He says, I've tried everything and nothing's worked. Jesus, my life is so hard. I need help and you're the only one can help me. Jesus, cure me of my leprosy. Take it away. Remove this thing in my life that is getting in the way of me having something better. If you want to, Jesus, I believe you can do it, that you can heal me. If you want to, you can do it, Jesus. Now, this is a Hail Mary moment, hey? A last-ditch effort for a better life. A last-ditch effort for something better. And unless Jesus does what he asks for, his story and his life stay the same. Nothing changes. It's just more of the same. So this is a big moment. It's a potential life-changing moment. Guys, you get this. You know, when you went down on one knee to ask your sweetheart to marry you, the answer to that question will literally change everything about your life. Hopefully she answered yes, and it changed for the better. Maybe she answered no, and it was like really tough. But you understand, when you ask a really big ask, the answer to the question has the potential to change everything. So here we have this man with leprosy. He's cried out to Jesus, if you want to, you can heal me. I believe it. What will Jesus do? Verse 41. Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I will be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. I love Jesus here. He's so good, isn't he? How awesome is Jesus? Look at what he does. Look at how he responds. This man comes up to him. And what is his first response? Mercy. Compassion. Jesus is so moved, it says he's moved with pity, in other words, that he deeply feels compassion for this man and this man's story and the situation in his life. He sees past what everyone else sees, and he sees the man underneath and all the shame and all the pain and all the brokenness and all the rejection and all the hurt that he's carried to him. He doesn't see a disease, he sees the person. And it moves him because he feels pain. And he knows pain and he understands the brokenness of life and he is moved with pity. It matters to him. So you need to hear that. Whatever you carry in here today, Jesus gets it. And it matters to him. And it moves him. And he has compassion for you. But notice it doesn't stop there. Jesus doesn't just feel compassion. He actually shows compassion to this guy. What does he do after he is moved with pity? What does he do? In an act of unheard grace and mercy and love, what does he do? He reaches out and he touches the man. Now, it's really important and powerful that Jesus does this first. And here's why. Because Jesus is blowing up every cultural norm of the day. He's stepping outside the bounds of what everyone else does. Everyone else rejects this man, keeps their distance from him, never touches him, and yet Jesus touches him, accepts him, comes near to him, and he does it before he heals him. That's powerful and that's significant. He touches him before he heals him. So here's what this means. Jesus is identifying with this man and this man's story. His touch is a message saying to this man, I accept you as you are. I see the pain you're in and I understand. I want to meet you in the pain and your story and then I will hear you. So Jesus' first response is compassion. This tells us something about Jesus. It tells us that no matter what we bring to him, no matter how big our stuff is or how heavy our stuff is, his first response is always going to be mercy, not condemnation. His first response is always going to be acceptance, not rejection. So just like the man with leprosy, when we come to Jesus with our stuff, he shows us mercy. And when we do that, look at what happens. In the blink of an eye, this man is healed. His leprosy is gone. He's made clean. He's set free from this disease that's crippled his life for so long. Imagine the moment for the leper when he feels the touch. He's loved. He's accepted. And all of a sudden, boom, his leprosy is gone. We don't know how long he's had this, but we do know that it's a burden. It's weighed on him. Imagine the freedom that this man felt in that moment. I don't know how it happened. I don't know what it looked like. Here's what matters. Jesus did it. What matters is that Jesus changed this person's life. That's what matters. Because of Jesus, the page has turned on this person's old life and a new chapter is starting. His physical stuff is healed. Now you have to know that all the shame and the rejection, all the inner stuff, didn't just heal itself, but he was set on a path to something better. He came with the stuff, the biggest obstacle in that moment that prevented him from having a better life. Jesus took it away, opened up the way for further, deeper healing. But there was healing. His stuff was dealt with. And that's the good news. One encounter with Jesus changed this man's life. One encounter. That's all it takes. Look at how the story ends in verse 44. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priests and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them." But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town. But he was out in desolate places and people were coming to him from every quarter. So this story ends with uncontainable joy. This man can't contain his joy over what Jesus has just done. Jesus says, don't do this. What does he do? The opposite. Not always the best idea when Jesus says, don't do something and go do the opposite. But he does it anyway because he can't contain the joy that he has because he's been healed. And the key is that he came to Jesus one way and he left another. Came to Jesus one way and left another. So that's a great ending to a great story, isn't it? It's a story that gives us hope because what Jesus did for this man, he can do for us today, here, now, in this moment. He can do it today. Because here's the reality, at least for me, I need Jesus to help me with my stuff. I need Jesus to help me with my stuff. So often I feel like my life's this dream I keep having. I don't know if you guys have like reoccurring dreams, but I keep having this dream where I'm trying to do something, but no matter how hard I try, I just can't seem to do it. You ever have any of those dreams? Maybe I'm a little strange. I don't have to tell you that. But I have these reoccurring dreams. One of them is I have this hockey dream, and I have this dream all the time. And the dream is I'm on the ice. The game is on the line. We're in overtime. One shot wins the game. The puck comes to me, I have a wide open net, all I have to do is take the puck, shoot it in the net, game's over, but I have a rubber hockey stick. And so in my dream, I'm just sitting here trying to shoot the puck, and it's rubber, and I can't get the puck in the net. The game's on the line, the game is right there, I'm going to get all the glory, be the hero, but I can't do what I'm trying to do. I have this other dream where I'm trying to get ready to go somewhere, and I just can't get my clothes on, I can't get out the door, there's always something that gets in the way. Some of us are like, that's my real life. I'm trying to get out of the house and something always gets in the way. Those of us with kids, we understand that. But I have this dream where I just can't do what I'm trying to do no matter how hard I try. I have great intentions. I try really hard. I do all the hard work. I bear down on that rubber stick and I try and I try and I try and I try to put it in the net. I try to get out of the house with get my clothes on, but I can't do it no matter how hard I try. And here's what I found. These dreams describe so much of my life and my relationship with my stuff. I try so hard to tackle and overcome the stuff in my life on my own, and I can't do it. I have great intentions. I really, really want to do something different. I really, really don't want to be burdened or weighed down or have my stuff defeat me, but I can't do it. I just can't seem to do it. No matter how hard I try, even with my best intentions, I work everything out in my mind. I have the best plan, and it never works out. I just can't seem to do it. This is a lot of our stories, isn't it? It's a lot of our stories. I got stuff in my life. You got stuff in your life. We try really hard to overcome it. We put things into place in our life. We bear down. We run. We keep ourselves distance. We work hard. We gather all these things around us, but nothing seems to work. So we know stuff. We know we have stuff. We live with it every day. And here's what we really know deep down is that we need something to happen in our lives so we can get past this thing that cripples us. And most of us, we're left discouraged, disheartened, ready to give up. And if that's you today, me too. But take heart, because what Jesus did for this man in our story, he can do for you. In one of the letters in the Bible called Hebrews, it says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In other words, Jesus never changes. The same God we see at work in this man's life in our text is the same God who is alive and can be at work in your life today. He hasn't changed. He still shows mercy to the broken when they come to him, and he still heals those who need healing. So whatever you face today, Jesus can do what in your life what he did for this man with leprosy. Whatever you're facing, you need to hear that. Jesus can do for you what he did for this man. His response to you will be the same. He will show you mercy. He will lean into wherever you're at. He'll meet you in the mess of your life and the stuff you have. And his response to you will be, I want to heal you, be free or be clean of whatever it is that you're carrying with you. See, Jesus doesn't just have the power to heal you. He wants to heal you. He wants to heal you. He can do it. One touch is all it takes. But he wants to heal you. He wants something better for your life. So whatever holds you down, whatever holds you back in life, whatever pain you carry, whatever shame keeps you in hiding, whatever fear grips you and locks you up, whatever stuff you have, Jesus has the power to set you free, and he wants to do it. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't give up. Come to Jesus again. He wants to heal you. So your life does not have to be crippled by the stuff in your life. It doesn't. Who you are doesn't have to be defined by what you've done, what was done to you, what you have, or your past. You can be free of your stuff. You can be made well in this life. And Jesus can set you free into something more and beautiful and better, because he came to give us a full and abundant life. John 10:10. He says in the Gospel of Luke, this is why I came. I came for this reason. He stands up in the synagogue and he reads these words. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty, to free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. So why did Jesus come? He came to free us from whatever holds us back, whatever limits our life, whatever stuff we carry. He came to free us from whatever holds us down in life. He said, I came to die on a cross for you and rise from the dead, so that anyone who trusts in me can be set free from whatever oppresses them, whatever weighs them down, whatever separates them from God, from others, and from having the life I came to give them. See, the promise of the gospel is that you don't have to get cleaned up to come to Jesus. You just need to come. Anyone who comes to Jesus and lays their stuff before him will find mercy and grace and be set on a path to healing. You can find healing in Jesus, but you have to come to him. You have to come to Jesus. And you have to believe that he can do for you what you can't do for yourself. So what are you carrying today? What are you carrying? Jesus can heal you from it. He can take it away. He has the power to do it, and he wants to do it. So the only question is, will you come to him? Let's pray. God, I love you so much. I love that you speak to us from your Bible, from your word, and that what you do in people's lives in these stories that we find in the Bible is still what you're able to do today in my life, in our lives, that you have not changed, but you are still in the business of setting people free. You are still in the business of healing people. You are still in the business of loving and showing mercy and grace to the hurting, to the broken, to the oppressed. We all have stuff, God. And we come into your gracious presence with the stuff that we carry. And we ask that you would show us mercy and compassion, that you would meet us where we are, and that you would love us into a healing and whole place. Lord, I thank you for each person here. Thank you that you love each person, that you are writing a story in each person's life that you are the author of. And you know what each person is going through here today. You know better than they even know themselves. I pray that you would enter into each person's story, each person's stuff, and love them there and give them hope, because you are able to do it and you want to do it. So in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.